Welcome to selfdiscoverymedia.com, where we discover the communities that are making a difference in the lives of others. Our self-discovery is something we are all making on our life's journey. Here you will find the people that will be your guidance, that will be your inspiration, that will be there for you in support on your journey of life. Do enjoy. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Ignite Your Heart and Soul, right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy. My wonderful guest today is Kathleen Woodington. Oh boy, has she got something for you. Well, she says how getting stuck saved her life. How did that happen? I want to know. She says she helps heart-centered entrepreneurs and light workers feeling disconnected from themselves and feeling their emotions. It's typically related to unresolved trauma and self-doubt and overwhelming and lack of focus, and center around their energy into their temple body to create more balance and flow in their life and their business. Your inner world creates your outer world. How very, very true. She said, in losing everything, mental, physical, health, career, finances, relationships, the whole kaboom, that she found herself, learned how to really feel her emotions, love herself, and love life. She almost died trying to figure out how to live. It's a miracle that she is alive. She is here to share her message of hope and inspiration and end suffering on this planet. It starts with each one of us, doesn't it? Life is a skill set. We are here to learn to live skillfully in alignment with our mind, body, soul, and let your lifestyle be your medicine. I love all of it. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
It was such a pleasure to be here. And yeah, it really was a journey of, you know, how getting sick actually saved my life, because it was such a big wake-up call for me.
I call that the cosmic 2x4. We get signs all along the line that we don't pay attention to, and it's whack-a-roo. Have I got your attention? The life you've been living isn't working for you. Let's start again.
Absolutely. I love that, the cosmic 2x4. So yeah, so there wasn't just one 2x4. It was kind of like three all at once.
they really wanted to flatten you.
It's like, it was at that point I realized, you've got to make some big changes here, and you're obviously, something is not aligned.
So. Yeah. We don't always see that, do we? We kind of go, why is this happening to me? We get caught up in the drama and the trauma and the pain and the anguish and the hopelessness, and we get caught up in that spiral, and we don't always go, well, why is this happening? Is this something for me to learn? Is this something for me to redirect? We don't seem to ask those questions. We're just like, why me?
Yeah. And it was really interesting. So it was the why me. And at that time, I was really coming from what I call victim consciousness. Like, everything's happening to me, mm-hmm. not through me.
So well, for you.
For me, or both, the for and through. And I had everything inverted. So really what it was that I was doing is I was on this addiction. And we know that as human beings, you know, we can be addicted to, you know, shopping, you know, certain foods. You know, there's sex, there's drugs, there's alcohol, and there's so many addictions, you know, to gambling or anything like work. Yes, work.
Relationships. You name it.
So, yeah, so my addiction, and it was really interesting because it actually looked like it was like, oh, you know, she's a high achiever. And it was almost like, this is a good addiction, right? I was actually addicted to adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And the more that I did, the more that I would do. And the more that I realized, I've got so many things to do, the more that I could keep in that spiral of, you know, really being in that accelerated state of fight or flight, and, you know, kind of getting that lightheadedness and kind of feeling like, oh, it's like, this feels kind of like a drug on a subconscious level. The more that I did that, the more that I wanted to do that. And it was just a coping strategy that I actually had developed. When I was a child, and it was eventually, you know, that being addicted to adrenaline, to being busy, that my body was just, you know, finally said, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Nobody can live like this. And at one time I'd actually said, you know, being a full-time occupational therapist, And I had said, I'm going to do a part-time job because I wanted to do, you know, these renovations in my home. And I just told myself, which is kind of like, when I look back, I'm like, wow, talk about really disconnected. Mm-hmm. I just said, I'm a machine. Like, I actually mean, think of myself as, you know, needing rest, needing to pace myself, even though as an occupational therapist, that's everything that I was teaching my clients. But on the other side, I was doing the total opposite. Like, there was no alignment, right? And so finally it was, it was that big wake up call. And it was realizing afterwards that so many women, when I started teaching classes in the community, you know, meditation and, yoga classes, it was like, I'm not the only one who actually has that pattern. I mean, had that pattern. And knowing that, it was actually part of, and not to say that everyone does this, but it is a big part of what I call the matrix and the programming that we all go through, that it is in our doing that we actually have value and that we're actually validated. And, you know, there's nobody that's promoting, or not a lot of people promoting, your being.
Right.
And being is first and foremost the most important thing. So.
Yes, I agree with you. You know, the big word that keeps coming to mind when you're talking about is avoidance. Keep busy, keep busy. I'm successful, this or that. I'm going to avoid really where the pain is at, or really, you know, where the truth is at. Right? So keep busy and you won't have to deal with it. But we can't outrun ourselves, can we?
No, we can't. And I actually really thought I could do that. And so it was really, and I always look back at things and say, you know, that was like getting sick saved my life, because it really opened me up to, okay, there's like, you know, this big ball of pain and shame and everything, and sadness and anger. And you actually have to start feeling these emotions, Kathleen.
Yes.
And that was terrifying. So again, as a culture, we are, you know, really entrained and conditioned to avoid connecting to our emotions. So my mission, once I figured this out, that it's actually about, like, that's the doorway to healing. So once I realized that I could get off that hamster wheel of addiction of doing and actually start to feel, which really cracked everything open. And I always say that, you know, meditation, cracked me open, and that yoga helped me fall apart.
Right. I like
really,
that.
Really, really beautiful way. And it really created that container for me. So when I actually started to line things up, and, you know, really to access different tools that were going to help me. And then it was like, wait a minute, when I started actually feeling good and actually feeling in my body. And then it was like, oh, I had no idea that this is what life is about. It's about feeling good. And I actually thought originally, I was like, that's not the point of life. Like, I had this sort of guilt thing about feeling good. No, just keep doing busy things. And so then I started to get addicted to feeling good in a really holistic way and in a really centered way. And because of that, it was like, oh, I want this for everyone. Like, I want everyone to get addicted to feeling good, not to avoid things, and to really align with their true nature and their true purpose, and to create a life that they love. So that is my mission.
Great mission. Next word that keeps coming up is connecting. Right? We're so busy doing connecting with the outside world, we're not connecting with the inside world. We're so scared of those emotions. Those emotions are reaction to things that are happening around us, or maybe to us, but we've got to add a for us to it. Because when we understand that emotion is for you to feel, to spend, and to release, we don't continue that spiral of emotion that then has a life of its own, becomes a tornado of emotion. And we've even forgotten what it was all about. We're just caught up in emotions, and then we'd want to avoid the emotions by staying busy. So really, the old stitch in time, deal with the emotion in the moment. Absolutely. Why is it there? Deal with it, go through it, release it, move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the tools that I do, like, I have many, many tools that I've learned and implement every day, because I'm all about empowerment. I know, speak, and live my truth, and that everything that I do, like, I actually, yeah, like, this is how I live. And one of my practices that I do every day after I have breakfast is to do the emotional freedom technique, also known as tapping. And I just call it my rant for the day. And I just release anything that's coming up, anything that's bubbling up. And I just, you know, it's like we take a shower, we brush our teeth, you know, our garbage out, like we clean. And it's just like, I just want to move that energy that is not actually going to serve me. It's just going to create some sort of stuckness. And just let it go. And then I just get on with my day. And then I do it again before I go to bed at night. And I'm all about, you know, really empowering my clients with tools, with strategies that really allow them to, again, coming back to that living skillfully. What can I do? When can I do it that is actually going to align me on a mind, body, soul level? Because I'm all about coherence. Mm-hmm. And it is from that state of coherence, balance, that we are then able to show up as our best selves.
I love the tapping. I love doing it in the shower, actually. There's something about the conduit of the water, and you're busy tapping, and it really feels like it's cleansing everything. But the beautiful thing about, you know, muscle reaction and tapping, you can do it anywhere, anytime. So if you're feeling something coming up, you know, is this important for me to feel? I release it, you know, and you develop those beautiful techniques that you can do with tapping. It's an instant, isn't it? It's an instant tool that you can use before something gets out of hand. You can tap it into calmness and understanding what it is, or into releasement.
Yeah. And that's actually, I love the way that you said, you know, in the shower. I was like, I never even thought of that one. Because when I'm doing my tapping, I actually just visualize that there is a shower of light for me, but I actually never really thought of, you know, doing it in the shower. Really interesting. And so for me, I use tapping in two ways, and there was a lot of resistance. Everything that I do, you know, teaching yoga, EFT, meditation, any of the tools that I use, it's just my nature that I typically resist everything. Like I have this sort of battle, and then I resist it.
Prove it.
That's me, and that's my science.
Yes,
I really need to have that proof, and then when I get it, and the proof for me is my body.
Yes,
when I was having a lot of resistance, and then you know, I had seen this course come out for, you know, healing through the chakras. Mm-hmm. You know, big name, you know, tapping guru, instructor, and my whole body just jumped and said,
yes.
And yeah, so I really believe that tapping is great to use every day. And then also it is really in a so powerful, I call it kind of like the forklift of healing, to be able to go deep into processes. And that's what I do with my clients, going into the lower four chakras, which is where all of our work is, and really doing that deep inner work that I was running away from, that I was avoiding.
And as I said, it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, you're not going to be able to outrun yourself. You can try and escape as much as you have. You can become as successful as you think you are. And then that vulnerability will come and get you and say, no, you know, it's time for redirect. It's time to go in, because we're not meant to live an outside life. We're meant to live an inside life. How we live from the inside will reflect our outside environment. So if we want an environment that is peaceful, productive, meaningful, that really, really does count, we've got to be it. We are the peace we seek. We're the harmony we seek. We're the love we seek. We're the productivity we seek. But we have to turn those eyes in. And how do we see? We feel. And so many people are so scared to feel. But when you tune into your feelings and really understand what they're saying to you, it's really quite liberating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very liberating. It's very empowering. And it's really... What I realized in my journey to healing is that the more that I unplugged from what everyone else was doing, so my whole life I always wanted to fit in.
Right. Don't we all?
No one's
one size fits all. No.
No one's meant to fit in. And it's like, Kathleen, you are a unicorn. You do know that. Yes. And no matter how hard you try, you would never fit in here. Right. And, you know, once I realized that, and it was like, no, I can't go eat, you know, all the food, what everyone else is eating, and I can't go do that and that sort of thing. And then it started to click, 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 click. And I'm like, interesting, because the more that I don't do what everyone else is doing, slowly I started to feel better. And then I realized, Ah, we're on to something here, Kathleen. So what I call it and the way that I really live my life is it's counterculture. Mm-hmm. I am counterculture. I'm not the mainstream. I'm not going to be doing what everyone else is doing. And because of that, I was able to, really empower myself and to heal.
Does it make soul, heart, spirit sense to you? Right? Because when it does, you know, I'm a knowingness coach. So it's about that gut feeling. Why do you know? I just know. And that knowingness then resonates with the heart and truth. And it goes to the spirit into action, and the mind will know what it needs to know when it needs to know it. And when you're in that truth, when you're in that knowledge, you know what's right for you. Your core will guide you. It will tell you, yes, this is right for you. It's not about what everybody else says. Is what does it feel for you? Is it common sense? Is it something that's going to benefit me? Is it going to be something that's going to enable me to be more beingness? And if you go in, the answer is always there, isn't it? You've just got to find your space in order to hear it.
Yeah, and that's, and I love the way that you said that. You have to find your space to be able to feel that. And what I really encourage and what I had to learn is to be able to, and there's three things that I found are really, my medicine is, and they all begin with S. Mm-hmm. It's silence, it's stillness, and it's space. Mm-hmm. And to be able to create those conditions. And I know it sounds like meditation.
Yes. And, which you can do anywhere in any way. You can be driving in silence. You're in your own space. It's mm-hmm. peaceful. You're methodically driving, and but you're in, a form of space where you can just allow things to come to you.
Yeah, but the thing is that the way that I use space is it's from Dr. Joe Dispenza. So I used his meditations and a lot of his work. He was one of the people that I really, met him in London, Ontario, but 7 years ago, which was before he went really, really big. And, one of his meditations, which I think I did for 6 or 8 months, was, saying that word space. So the way that I use space is to actually really clear everything on the mental realm and the emotional realm, just to create those conditions. Mm-hmm. And what I also refer to as, white space. Mm-hmm. When we think of a whiteboard, and because of the, our culture and being fire hosed with so much data, so much information, is that we actually have to be able to, just like we eat food and we have to metabolize the food, we are actually taking in on another level, on an energetic level. We're taking in all this data, which is, really, kind of filling up our minds, filling up our whole system. And we have to be able to digest and process that also. So having that space to be able to, clear that clutter, just like we were talking mm-hmm. about, creating the energy with EFT and tapping, is that then we are able to connect to, what you said, you're a knowingness coach, to be able to connect to those subtleties. But when there's so much in the background, it's really hard to discern. But being able to have a practice where it's okay, I'm going to move that energy and create that space within me, then that information can then come through.
It comes through as wisdom. Because as you said, this is data. This is a whole load of knowledge. That knowledge, it can be just knowledge for knowledge's sake until you know how to use it. And when you tap in and you tune in, it then becomes the wisdom of how to use the knowledge in the best way, because you know what's relevant to the moment.
Perfect. I love the way that you said that.
Well, that requires us, though, to be tuned in, right? And, it's very easy, to get caught up in the stack and the whirlwind. And let's face it, right now, we're still living very much in a whirlwind out there, with the pandemic, with everything else, there's still kind of a tornado going on. And we're just trying to keep our feet on the ground, so to speak. But, I'm saying kind of reach for the stars, reach for the universal love, because even in the chaos, we can find clarity. We've just got to be able to shut out the hurricane and be the eye of it. And in there is that where you can find that clarity. It's getting there though, right?
Yeah, I love the way that you said that. And that's really what I empower my clients with. That's how I live. That's mm-hmm. what I aspire to do. That no matter what is happening in the mm-hmm. outer world, whatever the conditions are on a global level or even in my own life, that nothing gets to define me other mm-hmm. than me.
Right, right.
That is our superpower when we can get to that place and actually hold that centeredness, just like that you said, in the eye of the storm, with everything, you know, twirling around and moving, really connecting to the truth of who we are and that divine essence.
And the truth of who we are isn't defined by the exterior. It's defined by the interior, our beingness. You mentioned this, you were doing this, not a beingness. When you're connected to your beingness, you know, that beautiful human matter with beautiful divine spirit, you know, then we truly actually understand who we are, why we are, what we're here to do, and even how to do it. But if we're not connected to that, we're busy chasing our tails, right? And looking for that validation, looking for that approval. And we don't need anybody else's approval. We need our own.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, it's, you know, part of our culture is to seek that outside of ourselves. You know, how many people liked our post, you know, how many people, you know, are connecting, and you know what I mean? Like, we can really seek that. And then when we don't always get that, you know, then that's when, you know, we can go into a story.
Yeah.
That we create it, that we can then validate. Oh yeah, I really am not enough. So you really am not significant. I already got that evidence, right? And it can be, and what I've learned is I get to call out what I call the traps. I'm going, that's a trap. And then I just call, like, you know, even going into the grocery store, I'm like, okay, know the traps in there, know the traps all around you.
Don't go down the chocolate aisle.
And then from that place of discernment.
Yes.
So a trap for me, it was interesting. So a trap for me is, you know, coming onto the computer at night, like past 8:30. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, it's just like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just do the one more thing. The one more thing, it actually doesn't work out because
3 o'clock in the morning.
No. It could go on till, you know, maybe 9:30 or whatever. And I'm just like, Kathleen, that's a trap. Just call yourself out on it. And, you know, just really set that boundary. So really, you know, it's being able to step back, get a bigger perspective. And it's just like, okay, what exactly am I doing and why am I doing it?
Right. There's a good questions to ask ourselves. And, you know, I had to learn 5 o'clock, my computer, the office is closed. Right. And I may kind of check my phone to see if there's any messages pertaining to the next day's shows, just if there's any update. But I don't open up that computer again, not until the next day. Right. And because we have to look at, even though it may be a passion and a conviction, we also have to look at, it's had X amount of hours of my time. This is now a different area of time that is needed to rejuvenate me. And so I like the way you say boundaries. It's not about borders. It's about boundaries. It's about saying no to the second or third helping, you know, as much as you would like it, because you know that maybe, you know, you don't have quite the restraint that you thought you had. So if we put those boundaries in place, then it becomes kind of that structure that hones us in the right direction rather than scattering us out.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. And that's a word that I use a lot, is the word structure.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to create our own structure for ourselves, what I call the, like, foundation or the infrastructure. That's what was actually missing in my life. And once I figured out, oh, okay, this is what we need to do through the time frames. And it really comes into also a yogic background. Mm-hmm. In yoga, we talk about, you know, the structure, the strength, and the flexibility, the sthira and the sukha. And when I was able to actually embody that and then live that in my life, that, you know, this is what we need to do during the day, but it doesn't have to be at specific times. So I had, okay, this is what's going to happen. Here's the wiggle room in which you can do that. Then it becomes this beautiful dance of being, you know, of being in flow, not being rigid, and not being all over the map and loosey-goosey, but really coming back to that knowingness, knowing that we've got these two threads of, you know, the structure and the flexibility, and being in the moment and not in the moment. You know, what do I need to do in that moment?
Anytime you have a new direction and you're in self-discovery of who you are, you know, what's your beingness, where are you going now? There's always going to be the people, do it my way. You've got to do it this way. You know, the whole thing about coaching isn't inspiration begets invitation. When you inspire people by the way you've done it and it's worked for you, it then invites them to try it out, but it's still going to be, you're giving them some various points and structure and tools and skills, but they've still also got to learn how to navigate it with them themselves, right? You've given them the basic structure, like we do with a blueprint to build a house, but yes, you know, how you decorate that house and how you live in that house is up to you. And also, if the house looks like a shoe, who cares? Right? It's your house.
Your house. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and I'm so glad that you said that. And it's amazing how you and I, and you know, talk about the law of attraction and action, right? Because I always, you know, part of my prayer in the morning is to connect me, you know, to the people, places, possibilities, and events that align with my divine destiny.
Right.
And there's everything that you're saying, and I'm like, check, check. I'm so aligned with what you're saying.
We're in sync.
Definitely in sync, Sarah. And one of the things that I always say is, just a minute, I just kind of went off on a little, I kind of forgot what I was going to say, because you were, oh, I know what it was, at the very beginning, because I always say this to any of my clients, any students, that I always say that everything that I say, that it's my truth, and that I've actually embodied this, I live this on like a DNA level, and it's my truth. And then I always say, which is what my guru, my Swami said when I finished my yoga class, he goes, don't believe a word I said. And I was like, shocked. I'm like, you need to tell me, you spent all this money and time and you're telling me that. And then it was like, oh, now he's so smart. So the reason why I say that is this is my truth.
Yes,
and
yes,
I'm just an invitation. Like, you can take or leave anything that I'm saying today. If something resonates, try it on, see if it works for you, and then make it your truth. And then just leave the rest. Cause I really believe that everyone is their own. Everyone's their own guru. And to really align with your inner knowing and then just choose.
Yeah, I'm always using the analogy of, we are a beautiful instrument and we're in discovery of what that instrument is and how to play it. And then we look for an orchestra to belong into to create that harmony. But you are not limited by just one song or one number. Once you've got that instrument, you'll go, oh my goodness, I can really explore how to play this. What sounds can I get out of it? Who can it resonate with? What purpose is it being out there? And to actually explore your instrument, right? Because knowing what it is, that it is never going to be an exterior job, it's going to be the interior job. And when you discover, oh, this really resonates, this plays well with me. Where else can I take it? How far can I take it? What else can I explore? And I think in a lot of ways, we've lost that beautiful gift of exploration, of wonderment, of what else is out there. And I think when we lose that, we kind of lose a lot of our reason for being here.
Yeah. And that's, I love the way that you say that. And I love the way that our conversation is just, you know, going back and forth, like just kind of playing volleyball. And no, it's true. And, you know, part of my healing journey was, you know, with a modality, it's called Access Consciousness. Mm-hmm. And one of the body processes that we learned was called the bars, which was really a process that we did, placing our, you know, our hands went on the person's head as they're lying on the massage table. And it was helping to just release all limiting thoughts. Mm. I got really, really into this and all their other training. And it was super powerful for me. And it was, you know, a big part of the training with Access Consciousness was learning to actually live in the question.
Yeah.
It opened up so much for me. And to be honest, like to this very day, like I start my day with questions. I go through my whole, I navigate my life with questions, which is really, again, is very counter culture. And the reason being is that we are taught to be, you know, to go for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer really, you know, it locks everything in as a fixed point of view. But when we ask a question, it's kind of like we take the lid off of the matrix and then things open up. And, you know, the two favorite questions, which is what really triggered when you were saying that. So our two favorite questions in Access Consciousness was, how does it get better than this? And what else is possible?
Right.
And
right,
the questions that really empowered me. So I kind of took it off and, on my own, and then, you know, created a whole lot of questions. So to this day, so when I wake up in the morning, you know, the two top questions that I ask myself, again, coming back to my mission, is I just say, how good can I feel today? And my inner child feels that and she, or hears that. And she's just like, yeah. And how can I feel good today?
Right.
And even if I'm, you know, sick or whatever, just even saying those questions, they open up a level of hope. And when I was, you know, at a really super dark, you know, dark place in my healing journey. And it was just like, I was lying in bed and I'm just like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And that question actually came into my mind. And because I was in major depression at that time, I was also suicidal. And it was like, something shifted. I could feel like there was a lightness, like there was an elevation, like this little crack of hope, and that would actually open up to something else. And then it was like, okay, that means you need to actually get out of bed.
Yeah.
And we need to take the next step after that, Kathleen. We need to get the dog out. And then the next step was going into the park. So it really became a stepping stone to be able to go from way down, you know, to where I, from where I was, to slowly and gradually come out of that. And then to create that container for, and that structure for really getting into a place of well-being and healing.
You know, the suicidal thing, I've been there. Really, we're not wanting to end our life. What we're wanting to end is the way we're living it. Mm-hmm. So the suicide is of the life as we know it. Mm-hmm. And when we get those thoughts, don't get scared of it, because really what you're wanting to do is end the life that's not working for you.
Absolutely. Totally.
And when we recognize that and we go, okay, it's okay to let that life go. It's okay to bring the death around that life that is not serving us. Mm-hmm. What it does, it gives a beautiful blank canvas for you to paint from heart, from soul, from spirit, what you really do want. And you know, okay, you may be at that point, I don't know what I want, but go through the process of healing, of connecting in, of tuning in, of listening, of feeling, of understanding. Your canvas will soon have beautiful pictures on it, because that's when you're allowing. But it's okay to feel that this needs to die, because you know that it actually is killing you, and to allow that death so you can have a rebirth.
I totally agree with what you're saying. Absolutely.
That's what you had. You had a death and you had to have a rebirth, but you had to have that death to understand. And, you know, just like carrying a baby for 9 months and giving birth and then the sleeplessness, you know, it's all a process. But the beautiful thing about being reborn, you know, is that we can actually now choose how we are going to live our lives. It is our choice.
It's our choice. Yeah. And then that opened up another, you know, another kind of path for my healing. So I got really into, you know, The Secret, Ron Burn, and Wayne Dyer. And it was just like, whoa, like, this is, why didn't I ever hear this before?
Right. Yes. And, you weren't on that channel.
I was not on that channel. And, it was really interesting. So what I, and then like, you know, the, what's the, oh my God.
It will come. I'm actually going to ask, have you read The Celestine Prophecy?
Yeah, definitely. But Marianne Williamson, she talks about the book from, oh, it's like the big blue book, right? You're going to know what one I'm talking about.
Yeah, it will come to you.
Wayne Dyer talks. Anyway, so it was another, you know, it was another path that I was following, another, you know, set of very profound readings, writings. And so once I realized, oh, okay, so, and I had people saying, you know, you're really negative. I'm like, really? I didn't even know there was this positive negative thing. So what I decided I'm going to do is I'm going to start every day like a blank slate and pretend that I knew nothing. So I would actually use my little recipe cards and I would write out, my thoughts are creating my reality. And then I'd start writing out these affirmations. And then like I had this big, you know, stack of cards. So I'd have finished my breakfast and I'm like, oh, okay, it's a new day. We're going to reprogram. And then I would just actually read my recipe cards out loud. And I'm like, you know, that is actually one of the ways that I started to actually create a new identity, was actually reprogramming my own mind.
But you see, that's the point. we're running on old programming that is not serving us. It's outdated. It was never meant to be. It was not a program that kind of keeps our vehicle going. So how do we have to press delete on that. But then after that, it's a reprogramming that needs to happen. And sometimes you can be inserting the new programming as you're deleting the old, because the more that you affirm the new programming, and they say it takes 8 positives to undo 1 negative, right? So the more that you keep affirming those positives in your life, the more and more your mind begins to accept that. Your psyche gets excited about it, because now it can start opening things up within you and start showing you new things that you are open to that channel to receive.
Absolutely. And it's all about, you know, the neuroplasticity to be able to create new neural pathways.
Yes.
And, you know, that takes time, it takes commitment, and it's totally worth it.
That rebirthing, don't expect it, you know, pop out and it's all going to be good. Oh, I've decided I'm going to change, and tomorrow everything's going to be different. That's your first step. There's a number of other steps to go, and you've decided to devour an awful lot of wisdom and knowledge from people that have gone before you. But instead of being robotic and doing it exactly their way, you've devoured it and made your own dish out of it.
Yeah, and I love the way that you say that. Yeah, I devoured it. And because I was so ill, like mentally and physically, that it was like, you have a choice. And I decided I'm going to live my life like my life depends on it.
Yes, which you did.
Because at that time, like, no one's going to do this for you.
Right.
No, you went to the doctors, you thought some pills were going to fix you and everything like that. And like, sister, it's like, you have to decide and you have to own this. So yeah, so I chose to live my life like my life depended on it, not from a place of fear, but from a place of like, you know, I actually think I can do this now that I actually know that I have all this, you know, new information. And so I kind of joke that for the last 11 years, I've been living like, you know, in my urban ashram and, you know, showing up like a cross between a yogi and a Navy SEAL and a shaman, and like going, okay, just, you know, being able to put all of this together and, you know, really, really do the work that, you know, that I'm here to do for myself so that I can then share it with others. And I'm living proof.
Right.
Gone from, you know, like mental illness and, you know, physically severely ill. And it's just like, you got your work cut out for you. So let's do it and see what's possible. And that's why, yeah, that's why I really know, speak and live my truth.
See,
and I give hope to the hopeless.
Right. But also you have a particular audience. You know, I like what you said about Navy SEAL guru. You know, for some people, it is very much about the gentility. All right. But there are other people who are high performers like you, and they can't go from that high performance down to zero and now tiptoe through the tulips. It's not their style. Right. They want to be, okay, I've got the knowledge now, I want to apply it, but I like fifth gear. How do I get into that fifth gear and still be true and honest to myself? And there, a lot of people are under the misconception that everything is, you know, it is one step at a time, but the pace of that step is in the application, in the belief, and in the practice, and in the changing things. And some people do have more of that energy and adrenaline to make it happen quicker. And I can see you being serving those people out there who have been the high performers and the high adrenaline, and they need someone who speaks their language, who understands how to bring them down, center them, and use that productivity in a different way.
And I love the way that that you said that, because that was my tendency. So to be able to get out of that, you know, that high gear and that, you know, I have to do things and, you know, be that high performer. What I really had to entrain my nervous system to do was to actually be still and do a yoga practice. That was like totally like the first time I went in and I did like a yin and a restorative practice, which is like, you know, holding positions for longer and being really relaxed and really chilled. I was so frustrated. Like I almost asked at the end, I was so kind of angry. Like, why did I waste all my time and money? Like just lying around and doing nothing.
Right? Yes.
And here I am like teaching it now and thinking like that was actually what healed me.
Yeah.
So So what I really learned was it was that what I really needed was to really balance, you know, the divine feminine with the divine masculine, because I had so much of that masculine energy, and to bring those two together. And it wasn't like, you know, I want to be all one or all the other. And I had to actually learn how to buffer down my nervous system, really be, and to really feel. And it was in that being, you know, in the meditation and then on the yoga mat, holding these longer poses, that it was like, all the emotions would start bubbling up. And it's just like, okay, here I am on my raft, and I'm just, you know, have the Kleenex box, and I'm just going to create that container that is safe for me to be able to feel all this. Nothing bad is going to happen. And it was really creating that structure, again, back to this word structure, that really made me feel finally safe, and that I'm going to be able to do it. So the way that I really see it is that, yes, you know, there are times when we have to, you know, be able to be a high performer. But for me, it's really about really having now, it's really about having the balance, and that I don't have to drive myself. I don't have to push myself the way that I would have done in the past. That was really coming more from ego and from this lack mentality.
Yes, yes.
And now, you know, the affirmations that I say, and, you know, because I would typically wake up before I started saying, you know, oh, I'm, you know, how good can I feel today? How can I feel good today? Before any of that happened, before my big crash, I would like literally wake up and go, oh my God, I have so much to do. Life is an Olympic event. And no, seriously, which is what I created every day.
Yes. Gold, yeah. Gold, gold.
And now it's just like, I see that program, like occasionally it will come up and I go, oh, that was the old programming that I was operating from. And we know where that went, Kathleen. So now after I say, how good can I feel today? How can I feel good today? And then I just say, everything that needs to get done today is going to get done.
Yes.
And then I say, why do I get so much done in such a short amount of time? That's amazing.
Yes, right? Because you're more directional in your purpose.
I'm indistractable.
Yes.
When I really, you know, set the intentions, like before I even come into this room, I just say that, you know, the energy of productivity and focus, and that everything I do is coming from a place of inspiration. Mm. Like I actually bring those energies into my office. So when I walk in, it's just like, wow. Let's rock it. Let's crush it. Oh, yeah. Let's have so much fun. And it's a total different approach.
Right. Well, this is why I'm saying that for a lot of people out there that are kind of, I call them really wound up, the spring's ready to break, and the high performers, right? And I've interviewed many of them who had their own cosmic 2x4 and that redirection, and are now living much more meaningful purpose and more productive in what they're doing. But it's getting them there. You know, you don't necessarily have to wait for the cosmic 2x4 to decide that this is not working for you. The biggest question they have is, but how do I change and not lose everything I've built? Or, you know, I need to serve people. How do I become that and still be productive doing this? You're from there. You know what they're up against. You know that language. So you know how to reverberate them into a different productivity where they can still be highly successful and very, very productive, not at the cost of themselves.
Right. Which is really, again, really bringing in the divine feminine, which is really happening on a global level. And that we, you know, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, you have the divine masculine, you have the divine feminine within you. And there's been so much value put on the divine masculine, on the doing and, you know, that has been what we've really rewarded. But it's really, you know, coming into that place of balance, so that we are at the end of the day, that when we put our, you know, head on our pillow, that we're actually in integrity to ourselves. Yes. And another question that was so pivotal in my own healing journey that I teach my clients is to ask, and it was so hard for me to learn this question, everything that I was doing during the day was like, is this honoring for me? In this moment. And because typically I'd be like, you know, trying to cram too much, like, oh, I'm gonna go see this friend and then that friend and then do that. And then it was like, and then at the end of the day, it was like, so, you know, then you got hungry and your blood sugar went down. Now you're tired. And you know what I mean? Like there was that snowball effect from that one decision that I made because I wasn't actually honoring myself.
And
I
wasn't present.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, and then, so it was like being able to like, okay, so I got to ask this question. And once I really got it, like ask that question, maybe you need to drink water now, maybe right now, maybe you need to move your body, and being able to catch yourself and then say, okay, this is the body temple. You know, this is what I have to pay attention to. Because again, that was another part of the program within our matrix, is to, you know, not take care of your body and don't
push through it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what gets rewarded. And so again, that was another big, you know, mindset that I actually had to raise my awareness about, and then to learn to honor myself. And again, this is all part of coming back to learning to live skillfully.
Mm-hmm. There's so much that you said there that kind of resonates with me, is that it was like, no, I have to do this. I have to do this. And it would be at the expense of me. And then it's like, well, how can I do this well if I'm depleted? And like, you know, yesterday I did a show. I didn't sleep well the night before. And it was like, I'm feeling exhausted right now. I need to honor myself. And I went and had a nap. Right. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the work that needs to get done in the day will get done. And the more structure you have, and the more, you know, the boundaries that you have, structure and boundaries, the two good things to actually have in your vocabulary, is like, okay, I'm not going to be productive in this state I'm in right now. Go and take your nap, rest up. There's always tomorrow. And you, because you've rested up tomorrow, you'll be able to be even more productive. But it's to listen to ourselves. Why do I have to apologize that I need to take some time out? Right?
Exactly. I love the way you said that. And I have this thing, and you might relate to this. So, and I still, like, I can get caught in the trap. Like, I was doing something on my computer on Sunday, and I'm like, no, I have to finish it now. That was my old pattern, right? It's just like, even if I was cleaning the house, it's like the whole thing's going to get done before you have your lunch. And then it would be like, oh my God, the house is clean. She ate, and then she passed out because she on Sunday, and I was just like, no, I have to eat. And I'm like, no, I need to get this done. And then there's like, so at the end of the day, like I actually do a journal, like I review my day, and I have a structure for doing that. It takes like 5 minutes. I got that from one of my coaches, Brendan Bouchard. And then it was just like, I get to see, oh yeah, see where you didn't pay attention. So what was the lesson there, Kathleen? So we can kind of go back and like, just let's kind of focus on, you know, that strategy, that was a broken strategy. Use that in the past. Here it is again. Let's move forward. And then today I kind of caught it, and I'm like, no, when I need to eat now.
Yes.
And listen.
Yes.
And taking that time to actually pause and say, okay, there's a choice to be made. Are you going to pay the price for not listening? Right. Cause we all know that path, right? When you pay the price for not actually listening to yourself, or do you actually want to listen to yourself, right? And that's aligning really with the higher self.
Learn to take a breath, right?
Learn to take a breath. Learn to take that pause.
Right. Well, before, you know, we started the show, we were talking, and you have a book in your head, and it's been kind of running around in your head. And finally, you know, the structure of the book came to being, and now you know where you can go from. I've had that, you know, a book running in my head, and I've got three books running in my head, and I don't know which one to write. And, you know, and that's, you know, it's sometimes, okay, be still, and what speaks to you? Because if something comes out of you with ease, that structure, that clarity, that understanding, then that's the path that you need to get. And other people, but you need to do this and you need to do that. No, if it doesn't resonate with you, right, then it doesn't resonate. When you were in that space of allowing, suddenly it kind of comes into place. Ah, okay, I know which direction to go in. You can't force that. You have to allow it, don't you?
Right. And it's really interesting that you said that. So yeah, and it was just like, it was so effortless. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to write my, you know, for some reason, my top 10 tips. Okay, right. So we just got to number 59, and it just flowed through me.
Right.
So the reason why, and the reason why that comes so effortlessly, and it's not like every day, and I'm obviously cultivating that and learning about that more and more, is that I really believe in creating the conditions for well-being and balance through mind, body, soul, which is why, you know, creating structure through practices, through lifestyle habits, that like I do my practices in the morning and then I eat. So I've actually opened up, and there's actually not just mind, body, soul. There's actually five bodies because I follow the yogic map. And because I'm actually activating, you know, the physical and all the non-physical, that information, because we are a field of information, mm-hmm. over five layers, that once those five layers of information are open and activated and everything is flowing, then information just flows.
Yes. Like
information just flows. So I'm actually creating those conditions through structuring my day where, you know, beforehand, it would be a lot of efforting. Oh my God, I really got to think about this.
Yeah.
There's no thinking. It's like a faucet. It yes. just comes on because I've actually done, you know, move my body, connect it to my breath, did my meditation, you know, did my tapping. And then it's just like, it just turns on. Like
you opened your channel. You opened your channel yeah. and it came flooding through, right? It's like the radio, you know, oh, the song is static. And, you know, back in the day, folks, we used to turn the knob just to get the right, you know, right channel there. And nowadays it's all digital. So, if, of course, if it's static, it's static. Change to a different channel altogether. But I think go back to the knob, you know, and keep turning until, you know, okay, the channel is now open. It's been trying to communicate with us. It's been trying to download. But we haven't been tuning in. So setting that space, that space, that quietness, that clarity of I am open and ready to receive, and then turn those knobs, that channel will come flooding through. I'm waiting for that. I've got to create that space, which I'm going to do over Christmas.
And, you know, the one thing for creating that channel that has probably been the biggest factor for me, and the number one reason why I'm so, like, I get excited about talking about, you know, habits and lifestyle, just because it has had such a profound impact for me, is the importance of moving our bodies. And I really believe that, you know, when we look at North America and probably beyond, that we're stagnation nations, mm-hmm. and that human beings were never, ever meant to be static. It is, you know, it is not aligned with our well-being. It's not how we were designed to live. So what we're doing right now is really counterintuitive to the human being.
Right. And we need to flow. So we have to let that flow.
We have movement.
Yes.
And I actually created that. And it was so challenging for me. Like, I had so much resistance. So if I can do this, I'm giving hope to everybody. When I actually finally got it, and there was a lot of stop and start and backwards and start and backwards, and when I finally got it and I actually felt it in my body, I was like, oh my God, this is the deal breaker for me. So that is what really opens up. There's like they say that the yogis say that, you know, from the heart, there's these 72,000 nadis, these energetic channels within the physical and the non-physical body. And that is where prana is flowing. We know that prana is, you know, our life force energy. Mm. So again, because I'm science background, I'm like, prove it to me, prove it to me first. And then it's like, oh boy, now I get it.
Right.
And that has been, you know, even though I do different practices, but that has been the one that has really had the most dramatic impact on, you know, creating those conditions for connecting to intuition and to what I call aliveness. Like, right, that's right. What we all want. We all want aliveness, right?
Yes.
None
yes.
of this half alive. Do you want to be half alive or fully alive?
And right.
The choice is really, it's everyone's got their own choice on that. So I know what I'm voting for.
Right. Exactly. And you know, this has to be a conscious practice for me because I'm 7 hours a day at this, you know, 6 days a week. And so I have to kind of in between things, get up and I go, all right, I don't have time to go for a walk or the weather or this or that. It's shake your booty. You know, it's stretch and do some shaking and, you know, just shake things out to get that circulation going. I've got one of these automatic foot massages that will massage my feet to kind of get the circulation going. It's just find something to get the body chi energy flowing. And when it is, you feel so much better and you've given your body that chance, right? So whatever it is you can do, just do something.
Yeah, just, yeah, move something. And yeah. I live in an apartment building and what I do, so when it's really cold and even when it's not really cold, I just commit. Another one of my habits is do the stairs. So the stairs are my stair master.
Yeah.
So I'm on the fifth floor. So typically, you know, I'll do two stairs at a time, come up. Sometimes I do them twice. It's like a high interval training. And then like today I was like, okay, we don't have time to go outside. It's too cold. So then I do lunges, you know, on the floor, like from my apartment all the way past the elevator to the other side. And so it's just, you know, what can you do where you are? Again, it's just kind of like you said, get up, move, shake, do something, get that chi flowing.
I know there's the wonderful thing of Qigong and Tai Chi, and it's not about fast movements. It's not about needing a lot of space, but it's all about deliberate movement. So, you know, so you're going to find something that resonates with you. Oh, you know, my son is dating a yoga teacher. She needs to stretch. Oh, God, no. I've got to get on the floor. I've got to do that stretching. And that really what works for her. And you, each one, you know, somebody may go for a jog. Somebody may go for a walk. It's what is it for you? It's just do something that works for you.
Absolutely.
The same with the mind exercises. You know, the tapping. The clearing, you know, going to get a little graphic here. We eat every day. What happens if we ate and we didn't expire? You know, we didn't expose, release what we ate all the time. You know, we would be full of something that we don't want to be full of. So it's the same with our thoughts. It's the same even with our feelings. It's like tapping and releasing. It's like stop carrying with you something that doesn't serve you. And by just kind of clearing those things every day, as you say, beginning of the morning, hello world, I'm open to receive. At the end of the day, I release my day so I can relax and rejuvenate and start again tomorrow. So the simple practices that really just can help us stay present, kind of stay clean within our mind, body, hearts, and souls.
Yes, absolutely. You and I are so aligned, Sarah. Oh my God.
We've both done the work, and that's the point, right? That's the point, is that, you know, just like I said, you know, birthing yourself, you know, it can be painful at times, but the only way to get out of it is to go through it. And the more that you are willing to go through it and do the practices, do the work, the quicker you're going to get through it. And you're going to be in a form of revelation. And the more you actually move forward in your life, those wonderful revelations are going to keep coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, I just had a beautiful 84-year-old on, who is an author, and it's like it is your life, isn't it? You know, it's your choice what you do with it. And it's about that exuberance. It is about that participation. It's about that wonderment in life. And the moment, as you said, you become stagnant, mind, body, heart, and soul, you start dying. So it is keep the flow going, keep the energy going, keep following that wonderment of where else you can go, because that's what's going to keep you alive.
Right. And it's really what I believe and what was really true for me was, number one, really coming into the question and really living, being a question, being a living question.
Knowing what the question is.
Well, you can make it up. You can make anything up, right? And then in terms of questions. But the other thing for me, which was that inspiration, that activation, was really connecting with and healing my inner child.
Until I did that.
Yeah, not a whole lot happened. And once that happened, oh my gosh, it was like, she's online, she's wherever I go, we have so much fun. And for me, and I really believe for everyone, it's really, really, really important to connect and to heal our inner child.
I 100% agree with you. I have a book going to be coming out in 2022, and it is our Forgotten Children series. Various people participating. We're going to hope do a 3-book series. So I hope you'll be a part of it. And it is about our wounded child. And we don't listen to our children. We don't give our children enough voice. We don't listen to their feelings. And so many children are injured and they become the dysfunctional adults. And so most of the people walking in this world today is a disconnect from their child or an injured child they're carrying around with them. And the more you heal, love, hug, and nurture that inner child, the more that you are going to be at whole and at oneness with yourself as an adult.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I just heard something recently, and they said that there's no adults, like very few adults, there's just big kids.
Yes. And actually, if we look at life through a kid's point of view, you know, the youngest person I had was 10. She'd written a book, 365 Days of Gratitude with a Positive Attitude. And, you know, I thought I was going to have to kind of change the way I did this. And there's so many statements that you made that was a ha-ha moment. One of them was like, well, if it makes you unhappy, why do you keep doing it? And it's like, hello, we, you know, we've, intellectualize that suffering is part of life. It doesn't have to be, right? And it took a child to remind us of that. So why aren't we listening to our inner child? And why aren't we greeting each day with that childlike exuberance?
Yeah, and we get to remind ourselves that, again, another thing that I learned from one of my coaches is that we are a generator. Mm. So enthusiasm, inspiration, courage. Yeah, we call that up like an actor, like an actress. We are the generators of whatever it is that we want to create. And the more that we can connect to the energy of our inner child, the easier it's going to be able to generate those emotions of inspiration, wonderment, curiosity.
Yeah, I use that word generator all the time. We are our own generator.
Am I surprised you use that word all the time?
Yeah. No. The thing is, whatever is, you know, life isn't happening to us, it's happening for us. So what we can do with what happens to us is, what can I learn from this? What is it showing me? You know, and one of the things I love the shows that I do is people like yourself, you got the cosmic 2x4. And instead of kind of laying down and dying.
I got three of them, right? Because I didn't listen to them.
Right, yes. You were a little on the stubborn side, right?
Very much so.
So what you've learned from it is you've discovered your strength, you've discovered your courage, you've discovered your abilities, but you've discovered your true self. And when you discover your true self, now you really know what you're here for and what your contribution is to life and this planet and us as a human race. And when you discover that, it is like, I enjoy getting up every day because what I'm doing, I know, is making a difference, even if it's in one person's life, right? And it's a reason to participate, because we all want to be connected, to be a part of something. We want to count. We want to know what we're doing makes a difference. So you've got to be the difference you seek, right?
100%, Sarah.
So, okay, we're going to come back later to your book. When you've written it, you've got to come back and share that. I'm dying to hear all about it. But in the meantime, you know, we're here at Christmas right now, and it's a wonderful festive season, and it's all about that connection with family. And, you know, you may be a person that's kind of just been on your own discovery, and now you're going to be amongst family and friends who know the old you. So what advice would you give to people during this festive season, going into the new year, that are going to be amongst the people who have not yet seen the new you, or the person that's in discovery of you? You know, what advice would you give?
Well, it's going to really go back to what I was saying throughout this interview. And it's those three questions. Asking yourself, is this honoring for me?
Mm-hmm.
How good today, and how can I feel good today? And staying in your heart center when you're asking that, and listening to that answer, like what you were saying also, that knowingness, listening to the guidance, and, you know, taking care of you first and foremost. So we are here to honor ourselves first. And when we're doing that, other people are always going to benefit from that.
Right. And unapologetically.
Yeah, that's it. That's unapologetic. That's what I'm saying. If you're honoring yourself, you are unapologetic.
Right. I mean, we're Canadians. We say sorry to everything. We say sorry for saying sorry. Right? And the thing is, we've got nothing to be sorry about in stepping into our own essence. So I think, bring your essence to the table. Let people feel you, right? And they will embrace the person you are today, even if they don't know who you are.
Yeah. And I think also it's about, you know, there's a lot of, during the holiday times, there's a lot of obligation and doing a lot of obligation, which is a really low vibration.
Yeah.
And when we can do things from inspiration.
Yes.
No, I actually really do want to do this. Like, it's coming because it's coming from your heart, to be able to discern that and navigate that in a way that really feels true to you.
Inspiration begets invitation. When you inspire someone, you're inviting them to take a look at their own lives, right? Yeah. And that's one of the greatest gifts you can give. The gift of you this season is you.
You are be the present in the presence, right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So what have you got for the new year? What are you offering people in your coaching? You know, do you have anything that you wish to share with our audience in the form of a gift for the new year?
Yeah, what I would love to offer, and I'm doing it right now, So on Thursdays in December, on Thursdays throughout the month of December and January, I'm doing a free masterclass. Right now I have it scheduled for 4 p.m. and that's Eastern Standard Time from 4 to 5:15. It's a free masterclass, which is absolutely perfect as we wrap up the old year and set our intentions for the new year's and new year. And it's called Better Habits, Better Life. And I'm a big believer, living proof of habits and being able to, again, to create those conditions for well-being. And I would invite you to email me for the link for that masterclass. So it's going to be on Thursdays throughout December and January. And there's two free handouts in the masterclass. And I would love for anyone who's listening to this, you know, whether or not you want to, you know, up level, you know, habits that you already have, or it's like, no, I've been actually procrastinating for the last 3 years about that, you know, eating healthy or, you know, certain movement practice or meditation. I invite you to come and join me and know that if nothing changes, nothing changes. And like I said, I'm on a mission to get people addicted to feeling good because I really believe that every one of us deserve that.
Yes, we do. So what's your site and how do people get hold of you? And how did they get hold of you by the email?
Yeah, do you put that in the show notes or do I?
I put it up on the video, but for the people who are listening.
Yeah, so my email address is Kathleen and then at accessyou, accessyou.ca. So Kathleen at accessyou.ca. Just email me, say I want the Zoom link, and I will send that to you for the masterclass, Better Habits, Better Life.
And of course, your site is accessyou.ca, folks, CA, Canada. And Facebook is accessyou. LinkedIn is Kathleen Woodington. And so it's all there. People can reach out to you. And, you know, people may go, I don't know, you know, am I ready for this masterclass or this, that? You know what? Join and find out. Be willing to put your toe in the water and just kind of feel it. You know, if you don't connect immediately, that's okay. Just keep doing it because there will be something that will resonate with you, that will get you going, that will get you in the right direction. Don't expect everything to be, you know, it doesn't happen like that. You know, it can be, what's this? And let that feeling grow and let that experience grow because that's how we grow, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And basically, you know, it's Better Habits, Better Life. So I'm just sharing 10 tips that I've used, that I do use to install healthy habits. So.
And we all need those healthy habits. We certainly do need those healthy habits. And, you know, I'm very glad you had your near death or your death of your past because the rejuvenation of your essence and who you are today and what you're doing is very, very much needed in the world. But as I always say, inspiration begets invitation. So if people have been inspired by you today, then they are invited to come and dip their toes in the water and they can start off with these Thursday events and just get a feeling for it, or they can reach out to you and have a chat and see whatever else your offering is going to be for them, right?
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that, Sarah, you know, like just kind of dip your toe in the water. And the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is that when I was, you know, lying, you know, sick in bed, and it was just like, if I could just like turn this around, if I could change one person's life,
then,
you know, that will just really, that will give me hope. And to know that this is not for, you know, that I didn't go through this whole thing for, you know, for no reason. And, so I actually became the person I was looking for. And what I say, and I say this from my heart, is that I changed lives and you could be next.
Right. Yes. Exciting. What a wonderful gift to give yourself for, you know, 2022. And, you know, 2022 is going to be what you make it. What's your canvas going to be? How are you going to paint it? What habits are you going to change within yourself? And we all need the old nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And you've got that wonderful platform going there right now. As I said, dip the toe in. Make the intention that you're going to start doing something different. And you've left a lovely platform there for people to dip their toe in and kind of start. Because very often people, but where do I start? Kathleen Woodington, she's got the platform for you. Thank you so much, Kathleen. It's wonderful to share this as a wonderful gift for Christmas to people, for those that are going to listen, even into the future. It's just to realize habits can be changed. We can have healthier, more well-being habits that connect us to being the awesomeness and the flawsomeness of who we are. And it's just a question of making that choice and realizing what has been working for us is no longer working for us, and we need to change. Kathleen's been there. She's done that. She was very stubborn. It took 3 times, but she's there now, and she's helping everybody along that way. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. It counts how many times you get back up. So thank you, Kathleen, so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Until next time, folks. Bye for now, and we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You will hear many, many shows here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. We have new shows for you out every week. Just find them on our podcast or What's New. If you feel that you have something to share that makes a difference in the lives of others, or you too feel that you could be a host, please contact me at info@selfdiscoverymedia.com, and we will be glad to speak with you. Have a wonderful day.